As the video stated, many people today are struggling with that idea of what do I believe? And some would be trapped in that idea that as long as you are sincere in your heart with your belief, you're all good. Well, that's not what God said. Boom! God never said that. He never said that in the Bible. As a matter of fact, the Apostle John, we've been looking at the Gospel of John throughout this whole year, actually, up to this point. And as we get to the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, we find this very interesting thing because John tells us why he's writing this book. And John says, these, talking about the words, are written so that you may continue to believe. And what might you continue to believe? That Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing in who? Not just sincere faith. By believing in Him, Jesus Christ, you will have life by the power of His name. The Scriptures doesn't say, if you're sincere and believe, it's all good. It says, if you believe in Jesus Christ, by believing in Him, you will have life by the power of His Spirit. What you believe matters now, and it matters in the future. Believing is an interesting word, though, isn't it? It's an interesting idea of what I believe in and what I don't believe in. Webster says that believe is to accept something as true, genuine, or real. So, do we believe in Jesus Christ as true, genuine, or real? If you accept something or someone, then that it is true and it's genuinely true, then you trust it. You trust someone who you believe in. You trust something that you believe in. It's not merely a mental assent to something, but you act upon it. You believed in the chairs that we provided for you this morning that you are comfortably seated in. And you came in and you didn't question if the legs would hold you up, did you? You believed that we had already taken care of that for you. And you just sat right down in that chair and it held you. You didn't check it out. It was there for you. You had confidence and you believed in the chair, so you acted upon the chair and good faith in us, right? That we wouldn't put a bad chair out there for you to fall down. You believed in it. Well, there are some guys in Brazil who believe in wingsuits and parachutes. They believe in wingsuits and parachutes so much that they jump off the side of cliffs and they sail to the bottom of these ravines in these wingsuits with a parachute at the end. That is belief in a wingsuit and a parachute that I do not have. I do not believe in those things enough to take a jumping leap off of a perfectly good cliff that has a beautiful view from the top of it and jump off to sail to the bottom. Now, before you start suffering from anxiety attacks, everyone lands safely, okay? They all land safely, otherwise I wouldn't be showing you this video this morning, okay? Do you trust and believe in Jesus enough to take a jump into a journey with Jesus and trust Him with your life today? Yeah, go ahead. I'm going to let you watch that for a while. And you'll go, but have you ever taken a risk in life that didn't work out? Yeah, most of us have. I'm going to tell you about one that I took. When I was in sixth grade, do I have any sixth graders here today? Sixth graders, raise your hands really high. You're used to doing that in class. Yeah, okay, I got some sixth graders. All right, when I was in sixth grade, in my school district, okay, we had a very active theater department and everything. We did these huge musicals at the high school. We had a 2,500-seat auditorium, and we rented props and scenes from Broadway, and they brought them into my little town, and it was a huge, huge deal. So our school, high school, was going to do Oliver. And so I was chosen from one of the elementary schools to go and be one of Fagin's boys in the little troupe that pickpocketed people, you know. A wholesome little character I was, you know. But anyway, that was the role I was playing. But anyway, in sixth grade, so I am there on stage, and you know, you work a lot and you practice a lot with all these people. Well, during that time, I fell madly in love with a junior in high school. I was in sixth grade, and she was a junior, okay? But I was like, oh, I'm so in love with her. She is the woman of my life, everything, you know. I was in sixth grade, and so I thought I needed to take a risk and express my affection for this ravishing beauty, you know, that I just couldn't, you know, hardly stand it. You know, I was so in love at that point with her. So what I did is one day, during the rehearsal, I said, hey, would you come here for just a little bit? And she followed me, and we went out back of the theater, okay? There was a little niche, and it was in the fall of the year, and I asked her to step outside the door, and so we were out back of the theater, you know? And then I said, I want to tell you a secret. And she said, okay. I said, could you bend down, please? And so she bent down, and when she bent down, I just laid a big one right on her cheek. Yeah, I just kissed her right on her cheek, you know. And so there I did it. And she said, oh, isn't that the sweetest thing ever? And then she picked me up. I was not a large child. She picked me up and she carried me back into the stage of the theater and took me to all her girlfriends and guy friends that were in high school that I was like trying to be like, you know, in sixth grade, and said, this guy just kissed me. And all the girls went, oh, yeah, isn't that sweet, they said. And all the guy goes, dude, you raw, you go get that, you know. And I was red. I had hair then, but it was red. Everything was red. There was nothing that wasn't red. I was so embarrassed. I was humiliated by this whole thing that I had taken a risk that did not work out. Thank God I had a longer runway with Patrice when I asked her to marry me. And she was kind enough to say yes. It was on one of her weekdays and one of my strong days that all happened. But it's worked out. It's been really good. Okay? But when you believe in something, whether it's right or whether it's wrong, you take action upon what you believe in your heart and in your mind. When God created the world, He believed in us, and He took a great risk with us. We had no track record. He couldn't look back and say, how's the human race going to do? I don't know. We had no track record, and He created us with this ability to choose God or to reject God. We could choose God and His Son, or we could reject Him. He didn't want mindless drones just roaming around, just doing what He said. He didn't want merely religious people who followed the rules. He wanted people that had relationship with Him. Somebody that would talk to Him. Somebody that would really love Him. Someone that would really communicate with Him heart to heart. In the beginning, Adam and Eve lived in the garden, and it was a perfect world. It was an amazing world. There were no murder. There was no theft. There was no politics. That'd almost be heaven, right? No politics. There was no religion. There was no death. There was no junk food. You couldn't be tempted. No junk food. Everything was good for you. It was organic. It was great. There were no cell phones. Kids, believe it or not, there was no Fortnite. Yeah, I know, really. It wasn't in the garden. It was this perfect world. No school either, so just throw that in there. It was the way God intended it to be. Then Adam and Eve made their choice. They made their choice to believe that their way and their thoughts were better than God's way and God's thoughts. So they chose to go their way rather than his way. They chose to believe in their thoughts over God's thoughts. So they served themselves and not their creator. It was bad for Adam and Eve. They made a bad choice. And because of that, sin entered the world. And so starvation entered the world and sickness entered the world. Death and violence and sexual abuse and oppression and murder and corruption. Sin entered the world because of rebellion against the God who created us. God took a huge risk. And it didn't seem in the opening chapters of his book that it was working out so well. It seemed it might be working out just as well as my misplaced kiss in the back of the high school auditorium or behind the stage. It wasn't working out, but God always had a plan. He had a plan from the beginning for humanity, and he had a plan for each one of us individually. And God, from the beginning of time, knew that Jesus would come. It was in Genesis 3 that we first hear about Jesus' coming in prophetic word. And throughout the Old Testament, like breadcrumbs that lead you on a path, God is talking to us about John the Baptist, who would be the one in the wilderness crying out that the Messiah is coming. It was Isaiah who said that he will be Emmanuel, God with us. And then the freak out came to Mary and Joseph, and he said, hey, you're going to be pregnant with a baby, and he is the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us, the Son of God. And then Jesus came and in the synagogue read from Isaiah 61 and said, this guy that Isaiah talked about, it's me. I am him. They didn't like that very much, but Jesus was clear to proclaim it. During Jesus' time on earth, with his disciples, Thomas, the one we'll talk about in a minute, who was the doubting Thomas, asked Jesus how he could follow him to heaven. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. And that doesn't sound like, if you are sincere, you're all good. It sounds like, believe in me and have life eternal. Have real life now and life everlasting in the future, because it does matter what you believe. It was Jesus, when he was talking to the sisters of his deceased friend Lazarus, and they questioned him, why didn't you come earlier and keep him from death? He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me, anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never, ever die. Do you believe this? He asked Martha, and I ask you, do you believe this? That he is the resurrection and the life, and if you place your confidence in him, and if you jump into life and trust him with your life, you will land safely on the shores of heaven with Jesus someday forever. And that's real life now and eternal life later. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. It was another discussion with his disciples, and Jesus was talking. He says, who do you say I am? Who do you say I am, guys? And Simon Peter, that one who was always the putting his foot in his mouth guy, he said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, dude, my Father has given that to you and planted it in your heart, and it is the truth. For what we want most in life is a relationship with our Creator. He connected us to himself. And there is a hole in our heart without a relationship, without a conversation with God Almighty. You may think it's going to be filled up with money. You may think it's going to be filled up with popularity. You may think it's going to be filled up with a kiss with the junior girl outside the back of the high school theater. You may think it's about more sex or about another relationship, but really what your heart is longing for most is a relationship with the God who made you in his image, and he created you for relationship with him. He didn't create you to be religious. He created you to be his child, to love him and talk to him. That's who he created you to be. He created you for eternity. That's what he created you for. Now the enemy in John 10:10 tells us that he will come and he will steal your life. He will steal your time and he will steal your purpose from you. But Jesus Christ came to give you life abundantly now, and he came to give you life eternally then. It was after the resurrection of Jesus, you know, and John the apostle had gotten to the tomb first. I love that in John 20, where Peter and John are running to the tomb after Mary says, you know, that there's no body there. And they take off running, and Peter's older than John, and John beats Peter, and he writes right in there, "I beat him." Put it right in the gospel. I think it's so human and so wonderful, right? It makes it believable. And he says, "I got there first, but I didn't go in. I wanted Peter to come and go in first." Just because it's a little spooky in there maybe or something like that, you know? He was younger, and he said he stopped, and then Peter came, and Peter went in and said, "Ah," and then John went in after Peter went in, and nothing happened to Peter, so John said, "Okay, it'll be all right." And so he went in. But Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection. He showed up in physical form. They knew who he was. They knew him because if they saw the scars in his hands and the scar in his side, they knew who he was. But Thomas, that doubting guy, the one who asked the way, you know, "How do I get to heaven with you?" That guy, he wasn't there. But then these people he had been walking with for all these years, walking with Jesus for all these years, and they told him what happened, but he didn't believe them. He said, "Unless I see with my eyes that Jesus is alive, I will not believe." Sometimes I think that's what people say sometimes. "I will not believe in the resurrection until I see Jesus alive." Don't wait that long. It may be too late. Don't wait that long. Believe today that Jesus resurrected from the dead and that he is alive forevermore. But then Jesus, in all his grace and all his kindness, when the disciples were back together again in a closed room, he shows up. He shows up and he says to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer." And he says, "Believe. Trust in your mind and in your heart, and then act upon your faith and believe in the Son of God, that he is alive forevermore." The crucifixion is full of Jesus' suffering, and in human eyes, it looks like grand loss. But Easter is like base jumping off a cliff. It's like trusting in the wingsuit. It's like the power of Christ lives in you, the power of the resurrection. And I will trust Jesus when the world is falling apart and when my world is all together, in my failures and in my successes. I will trust God, for he is alive and he's got me. Now, skeptics and critics would say that the disciples stole the body of Jesus and that they hid it. They did a fine job because the Roman Empire eventually destroyed Jerusalem and they never found a body. The Roman Empire was the most powerful nation on earth at that time. They killed millions of people. They could not and never found a body. They never produced a body to disprove the resurrection of Jesus. It's written in history, in our scriptures. Jesus is alive today and forever. The eyewitnesses who saw it said he was alive. It was unbelievable to some until they saw it with their own eyes. God had a plan then, and God has a plan now. He's got a plan for your life and for mine, and it starts with believing in him and acting upon your faith and trusting God with your life. He loves you. He expressed it in the cross. He empowers you through his resurrection. Believe in him today. Trust in him with your life. The Apostle John, as he concludes his life, says, "Be sure and continue believing. Believe in him with all you have." Will you act upon your faith today and believe in him? Maybe you're someone who's, I'm not too into that believing in Jesus today. I'm not sure that he is the Son of God. And we've been praying for you for weeks that you would say yes to Jesus today. And that you would step across the threshold of faith and say, "I believe. And I will act upon that. And I will trust Jesus with my present, with my future, and with my eternity. And I will not serve myself, but I will serve his will and his purpose in my life." I mean, when I started the journey at 6 years old, sixth grade, I never thought I would be here in Yorkville, but it was the plan of God. I never thought a lot of things would happen in my life, that I would be in Memphis, Tennessee, and go to Springfield, Missouri to college, and then meet my wife in Wood River, Illinois. I never thought that would happen. I never thought that we would be in Wisconsin when we adopted our two children. I never thought that would happen, and yet the Lord orchestrated it all. For he has purpose for us. He has a greater purpose than you could ever dream of if you will but jump into his arms and let him take you safely on a journey through this life until you arrive safely home in his arms. Believe in him today. Could we pray? God, we thank you that we have the opportunity to believe in Jesus today, to believe in him, the power of his resurrection, the truth of his word, and that you've got us, God, in all of our life, in our successes and in our failures, in our struggles and in our triumphs. God, you have us in your hands, in your arms. You are guiding and directing, and may we trust you with our lives today. We pray that in Christ's precious name. Amen.